feet and daylight unto my path. And a light unto, a light unto my path, my path.
Welcome to Searchlight, a survey through Scripture with Pastor John Corson. It is our desire to bring you a systematic study of the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, book by book. How do you react when people are mean to you, when they treat you unfairly and harass you? In our study today, we will see two different reactions to this type of situation. One is very wrong, and the other is very right. This story is from 1 Samuel chapter 25 and is very instructive to us. Let's now join Pastor John and see what we can learn about how to treat people.
1 Samuel 25. We left off seeing David ticked off, upset, really mad. He was mad at a man by the name of Nabal. Nabal, his name means fool, and that's precisely what he was. That's precisely how he behaved, foolish. For when David came by, sent his boys really, and said, "Hey, we're out here in the wilderness. We're on the run. We have provided protection for you. We haven't ripped anything off from you, you and your herdsmen. So help us out." And that was a common practice in those days. If you had a group of men in your region who were a wall around you, providing protection for you, you were obligated to help out those men with their needs too. Well, Nabal, when he heard this, said, "No way am I going to help out this guy. Who is David? He's just some lawbreaker. I'm not going to do a thing for him." David then said to his 600 men, "Strap on your swords, boys. We're going to show him exactly who we are." Interesting, because David in the previous chapter had shown such restraint in not lopping off the head of Saul when he had the opportunity there at En-Gedi. And we talked about last time that sometimes we have victory in the big battles, only to find ourselves then with our guard down when the little skirmishes come our way. David showed such restraint, such spirituality, such wisdom, such depth, you see, when he didn't lop off Saul's head. But now there's a little pipsqueak of a guy named Nabal, and David says, "Come on, boys, let's go kill him." Be careful, be cautious, because it's not the big things that will often pull you down or do me in. It's the little stuff that comes our way, oftentimes after we've had a significant victory in a big battle. We're not necessarily on guard against the little stuff. And so he was about to do that when, if you recall the story, Nabal's wife went out. A woman, we are told in verse 3, was a woman of good understanding. That is, she was wise and she had a beautiful countenance. That means she was pretty. This woman, Abigail, was extremely special. And she goes out to intercede on behalf of her stupid husband. Now, I would think that she would say, "Well, this is an opportunity for me to be set free, frankly. And if my husband gets his head lopped off, oh well, that's the way it's supposed to be." But that's not what she does. What she does is, when she hears this report from those that heard Nabal answer David and his men that way, she then determined to take things into her own hands. And she took 200, verse 18, loaves, 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready dressed out for consuming, for eating, 5 measures of parched corn, and 100 clusters of raisin, 200 cakes of figs, and she laid them on donkeys. She was a busy girl. I mean, think she did this quickly. 200 loaves, 200 bottles of wine, 5 sheep ready to be eaten, and cakes and all the rest. And she puts it on the donkeys and she makes her way. And then she says to her servants, verse 19, go on before me. Behold, I'll come after you. But she didn't tell her husband Nabal. She knew that he wouldn't get it, that he would just mess things up. So she went behind his back, not to be sneaky or treacherous, but to protect him from his own stupidity, you see. And it was so, verse 20, as she rode on the ass that she came down by the covert of the hill, behold, David and his men came down against her. They're coming down and she's going up and she met them. Now, David had said, surely in vain have I kept all that this stupid fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertains to him. We didn't take a thing of his, and he hath requited me evil for good. I showed him good. I was a wall to him, as it says in verse 16. I was protection for him, and I didn't take anything from him, as we are hearing here in verse 21. David is ticked off. So and more also do God unto the enemies of David if I leave of all that pertains to Nabal by the morning light any man or male of his. Abigail, verse 23, saw David. Now she hasted off and she lit off the ass, the donkey she was riding. She fell down before David on her face. She bowed herself to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, upon me, my Lord, upon me let this iniquity be, and let thy handmaid, I pray thee, speak in thine audience and hear the words of thy handmaid. It's my fault, she said. Let this sin that has ticked you off understandably be accounted to me, she says, amazingly. She says, let not my Lord, verse 25, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, which means this foolish person, even Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Now, that's not a put down of him. She's providing protection for him. She's trying to say to David, it's just, you got to understand my husband. He's just not all there. He's quite foolish, really, even as his name suggests. As his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thy handmaiden, saw not the young men of my Lord whom thou didst send. It was my fault. I wasn't aware. I wasn't watching when your young men showed up. I should have been more vigilant. I should have been more clued in. I was caught napping, is what she is essentially saying. So don't blame him. He's foolish, like his name says. But I wasn't watching as I should have been. Man, I like this. She is an incredible lady. She is truly absorbing the blame. She is truly saying, it's my fault. I should have been more aware of what was taking place. Now, she says, verse 26, now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood and from avenging thyself with thine own hand, now let thine enemies and they that seek evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now this blessing which thy handmaiden hath brought unto my Lord, let it be given to your young men that follow you. In other words, I have come to prevent you from shedding blood, you see. God has blessed you in sending me to keep you from shedding the blood of my foolish husband, you see. And all this stuff, this is for you and your young men. Enjoy. Chow down, you see. I pray thee, she says in verse 28, forgive the trespass of thy handmaid. Again, forgive my error, she says. For the Lord will certainly make you, David, a sure house. You're going on to greatness, David, because you fight the battles of the Lord, and evil has not been found in you all your days. David, you got great things ahead. Your house, your destiny is certain, you see. There's great things in store for you. Yet a man has risen to pursue you, verse 29, to seek your soul, that is Saul. But the soul, David, of you shall be bound in the bundle of life with the Lord thy God. Saul is out to get you, but the Lord is with you. And the souls of thine enemies, them shall he sling out as out of the middle of a sling. I like that phrase. Your enemies are going to be slung out. Of course, David was known for using a sling, wasn't he? And this would resonate in him. She knows about me. She's heard my story. She knows my history. She also knows my destiny. She knows that God has destined for me to have a sure house. She knows my history. She knows my destiny. She knows my present situation too, you see, that I was going to come and lop off her husband's head. Well, she goes on to say, "It shall come to pass when the Lord shall have done to you, David, according to all the good thing that he hath spoken concerning thee, and shall have appointed thee ruler over Israel, that this shall be no grief unto thee, nor offense of heart to my Lord, either that thou hast shed blood causeless, or that my Lord hath avenged himself. But when the Lord shall have dealt well with you, David, then remember your handmaid." David, you're going to be in a position of power. When you get there, don't look back on this day with regret. Don't shed blood because you were avenging yourself. Don't do what you intended to. You'll regret it later, David, she would say. Your destiny is secure. God's ordained you for big things. Greatness is yours. Don't lower yourself to the level of my husband. Don't shed his blood. You'll regret it later on. And when you come into power, she says in verse 31, last phrase, when you come into your kingdom, remember me. And David, verse 32, said to Abby, "Oh, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which sent thee this day to meet me. And blessed be thy advice, and blessed be thou, Abigail, which hast kept me this day from coming to shed blood, and from avenging myself with my own hand. For in very deed, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, which hath kept me back from hurting thee, except thou hadst hasted and come to meet me, surely there had not been left unto Nabal by the morning light any man." So David received of her hand that which she had brought him, all those cakes and all of that bread and all the rest. And he said to her, to Abigail, verse 35, "Go up in peace to thine house. See, I have hearkened to thy voice and have accepted thy person." "I'm so glad you came," is what David said to her. "I'm so glad that you were obedient to the Lord and came to me today to keep me from doing what ought not to be done." "Ah, oh, you're a blessed woman," he says. And he says, "Go your way in peace. I've heard your voice. I accept what you say, and I accept who you are, Abby." Well, Abigail, verse 36, now having protected her husband from sure death, and the men that were around him from being slaughtered as well, Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a party in his house. Is this guy a fool or what? I mean, here he was about to be wiped out, heads were gonna roll, blood was gonna flow, and what's he doing? He's a party animal. I mean, he's doing his party. This guy is a real idiot, quite frankly. His life was in danger. He doesn't even realize it. He's out there partying. You know, the music's cranked up and the wine is flowing and everybody's, you know, kind of sloshy and all the rest, you see. Well, Abigail came in. The heart of Nabal was merry within, for he was very drunken. What an idiot. Wherefore, she didn't tell him until the morning anything that had happened. You can't really talk to a person who's in the middle of a party who's been drinking. You just can't get through. They just kind of don't get it. You're wasting your breath and their breath is getting to you. So you might as well just put it off till morning. And that's what she did, quite frankly. But in the morning, verse 37, when the wine was gone out of Nabal, his wife told him what had happened, how David had 600 men with him and were going to take off his head, and the men around David as well. Well, she told him what David was going to do and how she went out and intercepted David. When he heard this, his heart died within him. He became as a stone. He had a stroke. He hears this. In the morning, he's sobered up a bit. He hears how close he had come to losing his head. He realizes what a fool he had been, and he falls over from a stroke as though he's dead. He lives, though, for 10 days. He's in a coma, evidently. He lives for 10 days, and after 10 days, verse 38 says, he died. Well, the plot continues. The story goes on. Because David heard that Nabal was dead and said, oh, praise the Lord. David is impressed with this little lady, Abigail, you see. He was amazed at her wisdom, her spiritual sensitivity, her humility, and all the rest. And besides that, she was pretty. And he liked her, you see. So now he gets word, hey, Nabal died. And all he can say is, praise the Lord. Blessed be the Lord, you see. Oh, blessed be the Lord that hath pleaded the cause of my reproach from the hand of Nabal and has kept me from evil. For the Lord hath returned the wickedness of Nabal upon his own head, you see. He got what he deserved, but it wasn't because I was taking matters into my own hands. What a lesson for me. What a lesson for us. I want to fix things. I want to take stuff into my own hands. I want to make things happen. And David did too, but he was refrained from that course of action by what Abigail would say, what Abigail would do. And now David says, praise the Lord. Oh, I was kept from that course. And now Abigail, well, she's free, you see. So when the servants of David were come to Abigail, they spoke to her, verse 40 says, saying, David sent us to thee to take thee to him to wife. David wants you to marry him. David wants you to join him. David wants you to be his wife. Well, she arose, and she bowed herself on her face to the earth and said, behold, let thy handmaid be just a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord. Oh, man, she's blown away. I mean, David was a handsome guy who could leap over walls, who could write songs and poetry, who was a leader of men, a man's man. I mean, this guy had it all together on every level, you see. He really did. And she says, oh, man, wow, he wants me to be his wife. I'm willing just to wash his servant's feet. I'll be happy just to be around him from a distance. She's just blown away. She just can't believe it that she would be called into that position to be the wife of the king, you see. So she hasted. I like that. I mean, she got to move on. Before he changed his mind, I suppose, or something like that. She hastened, she arose, she rode upon the donkey with five damsels of hers, five bridesmaids, if you would, five servant girls, if you would. And she went after the messengers of David, who led the way for Abigail and these five gals to go back to where David was hanging out that day. And she became his wife. David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel. They were both of them his wives. For, verse 44, Saul had given Michal his daughter, David's wife, to Phalti, the son of Laish, which was of Galim. Now, interesting, David's first wife was Saul's daughter, whose name was Michal. But you might remember the story. If you don't, you can go back and read it at your convenience. Suffice it to say that Michal, Saul's daughter, was given to another guy after she was promised to David and given to him. So now David takes on another wife, Abigail, although he had already had one too, Ahinoam. So he has a couple of wives, which was common in those days. It was not ordained by God. It's not condoned by God. But it was a reality in those times. The Bible does not encourage it. In fact, there are regulations in the Old Testament law about that. And later on, it would be defined and clarified further by Jesus Christ, who said, this is the way it's supposed to be. One man for one woman for one lifetime, as it was in the Garden of Eden. But now David takes her, you see, to be his wife. Couple of points here. Number one. Let this be an encouragement to any of you ladies who are married to Nabals. You might say, I can't believe I'm stuck with him. How can I get out of this? You see, I can't believe I'm married to this guy. My, this is awful. Some might think, some of you ladies might say, this gal Abigail shows a real real key in helping anybody in life with relationships, and that is you do what you're supposed to. You be who you're supposed to be, whether or not that spouse, that louse or whatever, is who he is supposed to be or does what he ought to do. You see, God will work in amazing ways. Had Abigail not done what she did, she would have never been the bride of the king. She would have never been whisked away to the palace. She would have never experienced what she experienced. She would have never become who she got to be. But she did what was right, even though her husband was a jerk, even though her husband was a fool. She stood up for him. She took responsibility, even though he was to blame, not her. She sought to do everything she could to protect and to help him. And God rewarded her ultimately. I don't know how that works out exactly, ladies, in your situation, but I do know that God will bless you. I do know that God will bless any spouse for being who he or she is supposed to be. God will bless you. God will honor you. You say, yeah, but man, I don't know if a David's going to show up in my life. Yes, one day a David will show up, the son of David, a greater than David, and whisk you away to a palace, one that's altogether lovely. The lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000, incomparable, your bridegroom, King Jesus, will scoop you up and whisk you away one day, and you'll be free from that navel you're married to, ladies, and you'll be his bride. I say that tongue in cheek, but not really. A lot of people don't have very good marriages. They're not really happy, but they're gonna be. It might not be in this life. It might not be on this planet presently. It may be. It might not be. But one day, we're all going to be whisked away. Tears will be wiped off our cheeks. A smile will break forth on our face. The palace that we're ushered into will be mind-boggling and heartwarming. The Lord is our destiny. The son of David, the greater than David, the King of Kings, he's coming for you. And may he say to you, dear sister or brother, whatever the case might be, well done. You did what you were supposed to do. And I'll tell you this, life is so short in comparison to eternity. You're not going to regret, well, I should have let them lop his head off. Or I should have walked out on her. That's what I should have done. You'll never say that. You'll never regret staying in a relationship because of obedience, doing what is right, even though your partner might not be. You'll never regret it. For the next gazillion years, you'll say, Lord, thank you for your grace and mercy in allowing me to know your word through stories like this and commandments you gave to not do what others would do, to behead the relationship, to sever the family, but rather to say, I'm going to hang in there, Lord, for your sake.
You will never regret hanging in there. You will never be disappointed eternally for doing what is right. Abigail demonstrated this for us in a powerful way. Well, there's more to this story that Pastor John wants to share with us, so please join us again on our next program. We'll see you then.
This teaching is also available on the Searchlight website at johncorson.com. You will also find on the website Pastor John's books and other Bible study resources. Again, the address of the website is johncorson.com.
We are all on a journey in this life. If you are a believer in God, your journey is taking you to heaven. To help us keep our eyes on our destination, we have a book available called A Place for You, Reflections on Heaven. This book, taken from sermons that John has given, focuses on the hope of heaven. Heaven is a real place, and it is not that far away. This book is for everyone who longs for that day when we will be in heaven with our Savior. You may order A Place for You from our website at johncorson.com.
Searchlight is a listener-supported ministry. We appreciate your prayers and support. May the Lord richly bless you.